tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
Tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not gonna let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist to rise above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
Flash suspicious. Say they think that it's you, but they don't know that who you are is not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part, from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler, tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idols, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside me. Not because of 22s on the range, but Christ came in range. We said yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I met a fall. Since I got that call, no more song, now I'm home. Yep.
Hope Show listeners, I want to thank all of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each of you have had a truly blessed week. It's been a pretty good week for me. The weather's been kind of off and on here lately, some snow and lots of rain, but aside from that, it's been awesome. Today's message is, what will it profit anyone if you lose your soul? And so let's go ahead and bow our head in an opening prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We are joined together on this day to get to know you better and to receive the message that you would have for us to hear. Dear Heavenly Father, your word tells us that we come into this world alone, without any possessions. From dust we came, and when we pass from this life, to dust we shall return. Your word tells us that we cannot serve two masters. For to love one is to hate the other. The enemy tries to convince us that we need all these materialistic things, anything that money could buy. We oftentimes buy into that fact, the more money equals more happiness, but it's not true. Dear Heavenly Father, your word warns us against focusing on material things, making false gods out of these things. Because in trying to hold on to all the worldly things, we can lose our soul. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you remind us daily that without you we are nothing. Empty us of the preoccupation with materialism, all the worry and all the anxiety that comes from placing our focus on anything but you. Forgive us of our selfish nature, self-centeredness, self-seeking ways. When we struggle to trust you with all of our needs, remind us that you are bigger than our struggles. Remind us that even though we may not get what we want, that you always provide exactly what we need. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words that I speak come straight from you and not from my own understanding. We thank you in advance for all of these answered prayers, for what you have done for us, and for all the things that you will do for us in the future, and all the things that you are currently working on right now. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that opening prayer. So let's get started. Today's message comes from Mark 8, verses 35 and 36. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Let me explain what the world and the soul mean. The world is from the Greek root word cosmos. This can mean the earth, all the people of the earth, or even the ungodly elements of creation. But it can also mean an order or government. Today we're going to talk about the world in terms of the ungodly elements of creation. The word soul is defined as the essence of a person, a life. It is the part of us that makes us who we are. It is the moral or emotional nature of a human being or animal. In Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Jesus says in the Bible that earthly riches create a strong barrier between believers and unbelievers. We sometimes see this world as having everything we need for a happy and fulfilled life, as it was in the beginning. Genesis 1:29 through 31 says, Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it. I give every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw that all he had made, and he said that it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning. But even then, friends, there was nothing more precious than our life. Jesus knew this. And when Satan offered him the world in Matthew 4:8-10, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Not only would Jesus not sacrifice his own integrity for the world, he would not sacrifice our souls for his comfort. There is some mention about the cost of discipleship, but Jesus goes on to speak of the cost of not taking up our cross and following him. The exchange of the life of the Holy Spirit within us for some earthly thing is the greatest cost a human could ever pay for anything on this earth. It is the greatest cost. Not taking up the cross and following him is the greatest cost, folks. Friends, Satan has set up this world as a marketplace for the souls of men, women, and children. Satan offers many earthly things, such as food, drink, massive amounts of all forms of ungodly entertainment, and all the material possessions that you could possibly want, all in exchange for our inheritance in Jesus Christ. Friends, I ask you this. Is all the world offers, all the glamour and the pretties and all the toys out there, all the glamour, is that worth the cost of your soul? I can tell you right now, it's not for me. And let me share with you another thing. I'm going to read you 12:13-21. I'm sorry, folks. I'm kind of struggling with a cold that's kind of hanging on. So I may have to clear my throat a few times, and I may sound kind of manly today. But anyway, this Luke 12:13-21 says, it's the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you." Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.'" In Luke 12:34, the Bible tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Friends, I really like that verse. I want to say that again. And think about this. Think about what this means in your life. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Is it on material things? Is it on, getting bigger and better things? Storing up things of earthly value? Or is your treasure, your heart, is God at the center of that? Your family, is that part of your treasure? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Make sure your heart is in the right place. To gain the world means to gain all that the world has to offer. Money, fame, success, power, satisfaction, and so much more. But to lose our soul means to lose the key to all life, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ and all access to the presence of God. Friends, that is monumental. That's no small thing. Let me say that again. To lose your soul is to lose the key to all life, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and to lose all access to the presence of God. Why would anyone choose the world over saving your own life? Having God at the center of your life, if you knew that it was going to cost you your very soul, it's a very costly thing indeed. It's quite literally a life or death decision. Let that really resonate in your mind for a moment. It's pretty final. God doesn't mince his words in the Bible about this. There's no gray area about this. It's black and white. Life or death decision. Let me make it clear that there is nothing wrong with gaining money or success and such things, but they must be achieved by God's will for our lives. And not only that, it's also God's will that if you have an abundance of money or success or, you know, things like that, that you would also help others. Give some of that back to God and his people. Don't be greedy and just keep it for yourself. You know, we are taught this in some families. We are taught this, you know, to hang on to your possessions and hang on to your money and hang on to these things for the worldly just stuff, basically. But friends, God says that if he gives it to you and he provides for you in abundance, share it with somebody else who really needs it. God wants his children to gain blessings here on earth, just as much as we are reserved the blessings of heaven. However, what Jesus does not want is to see believers forsaking God for the sake of all these temporal earthly things. Many people out there in the world today try to gain all this wealth, power, and success by their own means and through their own strength. And that's not what God wanted. That's not why he created us. It can be easy to forget that all we have and everything we do comes only as a result of God's grace. You know, if we've earned all this temporal earthly success and possessions and all these things by whatever means it takes, and we leave God out of it, that's not God's grace. Without God, we are nothing. You know, we can try to ignore God. We could try to leave him out of all the decisions. And maybe we make something happen for ourselves. And you just feel like, well, I'm just going to cut out the middleman. You know, I'm going to cut out God and I'm going to go just straight for it. I'm going to do it myself. I'll get it faster. Friends, that's a bad idea. Because oftentimes, well, pretty much all the time, If you try to do something on your own without God in the center of it, you are going to fail. How many times have you guys out there, how many times have you set off, you become impatient, and you set off to do something that you really, really, really want, and you take God out of the equation, and you do it your way? How many times have you done that, and it's been an epic fail in the end, and you wish you hadn't have done it? I admit that I've done that from time to time. And so I can speak from experience. Don't take God out of the equation. His timing is perfect. Wait for Him to do the good work in you. His plans are always better for us than our plans for ourselves. In Deuteronomy 8:18, the Bible says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors, as it is today." Yet so many people have the attitude and thinking that all they have comes primarily from their own hard work. Friends, that's a trap. That's what Satan wants you to think. As a result of all this, people find it hard to submit to God's will when God requires us to make changes, to be generous when God tells us to be generous, or to say no to corruption and cheating when Satan promises us more wealth, more of this, more of that. This is why, friends, it is so important to be in daily prayer, daily reading of our Bible and meditating on His Word. This is why it is so important to draw nearer and nearer to God, to trust in Him for all our needs, and not fall for the lies of the enemy. We can find ourselves caught in the enemy's web so quickly, just in a snap of your fingers. We didn't even see it coming until it was too late. Friends, always be on guard, because the lion is out there prowling, and he's trying to seek out somebody to devour. Always be on your guard. Don't fall for the devil's lies. As I said, the devil goes around seeking to devour our very souls. When we go around chasing after earthly blessings as the primary motive of our lives, and apart from God's will, we forfeit the being of our souls. And as a result of this, our souls start lacking in such areas of our life as love, compassion, peace, gentleness, patience, and self-control. The 9 fruits of the Spirit. These things come up missing from our life, because these things only come from abiding in Jesus Christ. It's a huge mistake when we start living our lives as if all the material things in life will last forever. When we start chasing these things and forsake God. Because, friends, no matter how powerful you are, no matter how high in the government you go, no matter how much wealth or success that you have, no matter how much in material possessions that you have, when it's your time to pass from this earth, the most wealthiest man with worldly possessions and the poorest person living under the bridge. They have something in common. Their grave is the same size. You cannot take all this material things with you. When you pass away, all that stuff stays here on Earth. It doesn't go with you in the box to the grave. And so how sad indeed if you forfeit your soul for all the earthly things. Friends, when God is our reward, He adds everything we need to our life. When Jesus is all we want and desire, we will never go hungry. We will never lack money. We will never lose our influence and never leave the path of success. Friends, Shaziz and I, we are not considered to be wealthy people. We get by, we do okay, but we aren't classified as what the world says that we are wealthy. And we're better off now than we were years ago. And I remember way back years ago when money was really, really tight for us. And there was a time in our life many, many, many years ago that Shaziz and I wondered every day, where's the money going to come from to feed our family, to pay our bills? Where's it going to come from? But you know what? Every day that we woke up and trusted in God, something came through at the very last minute. God always, 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 always met our needs before the final hour when things would crash down on us. There would always be money that would come from somewhere. You know, there was a time, for example, that Shaziz was up in the city and he had $10. That was all we had until payday, and that was a few days out. And there was a man peddling on the street corner, and Shaziz gave his last $10 to that person, and he called me up and he told me what he had done. And I'll be honest, I was a little upset. That was our last $10. And Shaziz says, you know, it's gonna be okay, we'll make it. That fella needed it more than we did. And you know what? Shaziz went on over to his aunt's house, and she was having tire problems on her car, and he fixed it, and she gave him $20. Friends, that's what I'm telling you. Don't be afraid to help someone, even with your last few dollars in your pocket, because God will reward you for your generosity. Even when you don't think you can afford to do it, even when, you know, times are tough like that, you don't know where the next dollar is going to come from. God always makes a way. And you know, I don't stress about money anymore. I don't stress about a lot of things anymore. I just don't, because throughout my lifetime, I could see situation after situation after situation throughout my lifetime that God proved to me that if you only have faith in Him and you abide in Him, He will take care of you always, no matter what the situation is. In Proverbs 10:22, the Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord make us rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." Friends, Shaziz and I consider ourselves to be very wealthy, but not in the way that the world sees it. Shaziz and I are family people. We are devoted family people. We love our family. God, our marriage, and our family, in that order. That's where our heart is. And we've got lots of family. We got 4 children. They're all adults. They've all gone out, gotten married, in relationships, have had children, and we have multiplied. My daughter, Kara, in about a month, she will be delivering our 7th grandchild. So our family has multiplied from 6 to about 25 or 26. And it's amazing. There's nothing more that we love than getting all of our family together under one roof, outdoors, whatever, barbecue and having fun. That's where Shaziz and I, we really just, we are so blessed and so rich. So if people think about that, you know, as I said earlier, you know, where is your heart? Because where your heart is where your treasure is. God wants us to live abundantly and be successful, but never at the expense of losing our relationship with God. We are called to seek God first in all that we do, and then He will add to our lives. And praise God, He truly has in our case. I read in an article recently that there are 2 billion people who classify themselves as a Christian in this world. It is very important for each of us to reflect on what being a Christian is, and to ask ourselves, do I or we really dedicate ourselves to living a Christian life? The answer for a lot of us is probably going to be no. But yet, you know, it's never too late. And even for the believer, no one is perfect. No one. We're all a work in progress. And until the day that we pass from this earth, God will always be working on us. And we will always stumble and fall and fail. But our God is a forgiving God. If we admit where we've done wrong and do better. Honestly, there is room for improvement in all of our lives. I know there's a lot of room improvement for in my life. This world is full of distractions that pull us away from a spiritual life. Even our jobs, though they are very necessary, can pull us away from our spiritual lives. Other examples of this are movie theaters, theme parks, baseball, and other sports games, TV night at home, various hobbies, basically any activity under the sun that takes precedence over spending time in God's presence. Yet none of these things that I've listed will provide us the sense of peace that we are all searching for. Only the connection with God, only the connection that God could provide, that is where we find the ultimate peace that we seek. Friends, it's very important for those of us who are believers to remember that our physical lives, our physical bodies, will not last forever. God is love, and He is the ultimate source of nourishment for our soul. Let's face it. This is a hard thing to hear, but it's true nonetheless. 100 years or more from the time our earthly bodies expire, very few of us will be remembered by anybody currently living at that time. So if we focus all of our attention on the things of this world, what will we have gained? What kind of legacy will we leave our children and our grandchildren and our greats and greats grandchildren? All the things that we valued and acquired while on this earth will be meaningless because we can't take it with us to the grave. We own nothing. It's by the grace of God that we have what we have. Everything we think we own is in reality only loaned to us for a very short while. At the moment we pass from this world, only God can save our soul. Friends, this is not our home. We are merely passing through. It's so very important to put these things into proper perspective. Most of the people in this world have their perspectives on life completely backward. They are working toward the wrong goals. And one day in the future, they will realize that the opportunities that they had to make a difference in God's kingdom and in their own life were squandered away foolishness. Took me a minute. When that day comes, what a bitter realization it will be to accept. Our lives are short in the grand scheme of things. Our days are numbered from the time we were all born. Only God knows the number of our days. But when our time is up, truly up, there will be no more time for a redo, for second chances. Oftentimes, friends, the people with what the world deems as nothing much at all are actually the richest and happiest people of all. Think on that for a minute. So, just think on that. That's something, for some of us, that's easy to grasp. And for some of us, that's really, really hard to grasp. I want to share with you a poem. The Touch of the Master's Hand. So here goes. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on an old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I to start the bid, good people?" he said. "Who will start the bidding for me? $1? $1? Do I hear two? Do I hear $2? Who will make it $3? Once, twice, going, three. But no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust off from the old violin, tightening up the strings, he played a melody, so pure and so sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quite low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" As he held it aloft with its bow, "1,000, 1,000, do I hear two? 2,000, who will make it 3,000? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone," said the auctioneer. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand. What changed its worth?" And swiftly came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd. But much like an old violin, a mess of pottage, a drink, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he's going twice, he's going, and he's almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of that soul and the change that it wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Friends, this poem is written by Mary B. Welch. And this poem really touched my heart when I read it. And I hope it's touched your heart as well. Friends, Jesus confronts humanity with a profound reality. Our souls can indeed be lost from the choices that we make. How does it happen? Firstly, you could starve your soul. In Matthew 4:4, the Bible tells us, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Do you remember the story in the book of Luke, chapter 16? It is about a man who was very wealthy. He lived well. He enjoyed life. He dressed in purple, which is indicative of royalty. And he never once thought about his soul. He only lived for this world. And then he was asked to give an account of his management. Then it was decided that because of the way he managed things, that he could no longer be a manager. And the fellow asks, "What will I do?" He called reinforcement in from others, and yet it did not work. He had lost the trust of the master. In verse 10, the Bible tells us, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." In verse 13, the Bible tells us that no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Friends, bread sustains our bodies. The Word of God sustains our soul. But in this story from the Bible, this man didn't hunger for the Word of God. He had no appetite for any of the things of God. Secondly, you can strangle your soul. In Mark 4:19, the Bible tells us, "The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Friends, can I be honest with you for a moment? Any of us who are in a midlife, our schedules are ruthless. Our careers are at a point where there are great demands put upon us. For those of us with kids, They are engaged in many activities that also must fit into our already busy schedules. And these are just a few of the many examples of, you know, of what our hectic lives look like. Perhaps there was a time when your heart was tender toward the Lord. You wanted to make everything you did count for the Lord. But now you feel like your whole life is taken up with all these cares of the world. The desire for other things have taken a hold of us. When this happens to us, the Word of God gets choked out, and our lives become unfruitful. What many of you don't realize, that when this process starts taking over, this is the moment you begin to lose your soul. And thirdly, we can surrender our soul. 1 Peter 2:11 says in the Bible, "Beloved, I urge you to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." God clearly tells us that there are passions of the flesh, and they wage war against our soul. Did you hear what I just said? Wage war. This means that the passions of the flesh are out there to destroy our soul. When we experience temptation and we give ourselves into it, we begin surrendering our soul. Perhaps we don't even realize that it's happening. But I guarantee you, Satan knows it. And you make him very pleased and happy when we decide to do that. All Satan wants to do is take us away from God. If he can make this happen, then he wins over God. Friends, we must always, always stay on guard, lest we fall off of the narrow path. And it could happen so fast, in the blink of an eye. And yes, it is true that the more you follow God, the more you'll be faced with trials and tribulations. And who wants that, right? Why does it seem like some people get away with everything? It looks like they always are on top of it all. They seem to suffer no consequence for their actions. Do you want to know why? Because all of us will have to stand before God one day and face judgment for the life that we've lived in our allotted amount of time. It may seem like those people are getting away with things now. It may seem like nothing touches them. They're like Teflon. Everything, you know, just washes right off. But friends, that may be for the moment right now. But one day, all of us will have to stand before God and face the judgment for the life that we have lived. And so in the long run, these folks who have forfeited their soul, God will judge accordingly. But the answer to one of the previous questions is this: though these people look like they're, you know, they have everything going on, it will catch up with them eventually. But Satan doesn't mess with these people because he already has them where he wants them. Think about that. He's already got them separated from God. Why does he have to work so hard to get them on his side, to torment them and give them trials and tribulations? Because they're already on his side. They've already forfeited their soul. But those who are living for God, abiding in Jesus Christ, Satan has to work a little harder. And that's why it's my belief that the believers of the world are faced with a lot of trials and tribulations. It's a test. Don't let Satan win. Stay on the righteous path. It's no different, you know, for any of the believers. We all have situations come up, and we have to face these situations with God at the center and prayer, and by knowing the Word inside and out, so that we can tell Satan, that's not true, you're lying, get behind me. You know, God and Satan both are trying to collect souls, but not for the same purpose in mind. Satan's not trying to collect souls in the same way that our Heavenly Father is. Satan doesn't care about what happens to us. He just wants to take us away from God. But God truly cares about us. He loves us. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven alongside Him. Here is the thing. When we surrender our soul to the enemy, you're saying, you win, I concede, I'm yours. And then the enemy will take us captive. Friends, your soul is of great value. It lasts forever if we follow God and His Word, applying it to our lifestyle. But if we surrender our souls to sin, it will be an everlasting loss. And we will have no one but ourselves to blame for the decisions that we have made. So what measures can we take to ensure that we don't forfeit our souls for eternity? The first step is to find the worth of our soul. The soul that is saved is a soul that is given to Jesus Christ. Friends, have you ever seen a moving truck in a funeral procession? I hope your answer is no. There's a simple reason for that. It's because, as I said earlier in the show, in the message, at the end of the day, at the end of our life as we know it here on earth, we must remember that from dust we came and to dust we return. All our graves are the same size, proportionate to our body sizes, not the amount of possessions that we have. Some are not the size of a room, while others are the size of a closet. They are proportionate to our body sizes. The grave is only big enough to put our physical bodies inside, no more, no less. So I want to read another article to you real quick. A man who has spent his whole life trying to give his wife and children more than he had growing up. In order to do so, he sacrificed most of his life to his achievements and not to spending it with his family. He had left all the responsibilities of parenting to his wife. The children finally grew up, moved out on their own, had families of their own. They had all these loving memories of their mom, but very few of their dad. One day his wife died, and along with it all the love that had held their family together. At the graveside, the man grieved with his adult children and wanted to console them, but his attempt wasn't warmly welcomed. The harsh reality was that he had become a stranger to his own family. Back home after the funeral, the children were all rallied around, swapping beautiful memories of their mom and comforting one another. And this father was completely ignored. Later on, in the father's elder years, he found himself in a critical care home. Totally, completely, utterly alone. With nothing but time to think. He thought about the wonderful life he had, and how after all these years it was all gone, and he came to the stark reality that there was nothing left of that old life to show for all of his efforts. He eventually passed on. His young great-granddaughter asked her mom, which would have been this old man's daughter, "Didn't great-granddad have a lot of money and have a big house?" And the grandmother replied to the little girl, "Yes, he did." The grown daughter of the man who had died looked at the hearse and quietly said to herself, "You missed it, Dad. We are the things you could take to heaven with you. And you didn't even try. You missed it, Dad." I ask you again, friends, what advantage would it be if any of us, to any of us, if we were to gain the whole world and lose our soul? And the answer is, we would have gained nothing. How sad it is to think of that story about the man trying everything he could to make a better life, materialistically speaking, for his family, to give them a life he had never had growing up. And yet in the end, he had worked so hard for that, and the only thing it gained him was nothing at all except a wasted life. His children didn't know him. They had few memories of him because he was too busy trying to do better and be better. Friends, I'm pleading with you and I'm praying for you right now that if any one of you out there are on this path right now, that you would take a good, hard look at your life and ask yourself, what path are you on? Ask yourself some of these very, very hard questions. What am I doing with my life right now? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What's my motive? What's my purpose? What am I trying to accomplish? What is the main goal in my life? Are my motives driven by righteous living or something from the past? Friends, if your answers are not anchored in the Word of God, you are forfeiting your soul. Do you want to end up like the old man in the story that I just shared with you? Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, I can speak from experience. If you're on that rat race, you're on that hamster wheel, whether it be the mom or the dad, and you're spending long, long, long hours, days, months away from your home, and I'm not talking about the military, because they're fighting for this country, they're fighting for us, but I'm talking about just other career choices that you might make. If you're spending most of your time away from your family, trying to bring in, you know, lots of money or whatever, trying to give your family things that you never had. I mean, I'm not saying that there's something wrong with that, because there's not. You know, you always want to thrive to do better, you know, than you had. You want better for your children than you had for yourself. But there comes a point in time when you can lose your focus. You know, you can lose track of why you're doing what you're doing. Your motivation shifts. And friends, if you're in that right now, I want you to take a long, hard look. And as I said, I'm speaking from experience. If you have children, what are your children going to remember about you when you get to be in your older years, 70s, 80s, when you pass away? What are your children going to remember about you? Are they going to have memories of you being a productive part of their life? Are they going to think upon you fondly and say, yeah, my mom, my dad, we did all these cool things? Or are they going to say, I barely knew you. You were gone so much of the time. Don't let that be you, friends. Please, please, dear Lord, don't let that be you. So I ask, would all the worldly possessions really be worth all of that? To lose your soul and to lose your family in the process. Let's close with a prayer. Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today's message. I believe it has hit home for many. Please forgive us of our transgressions. Please cleanse our heart, our mind, our body and soul. We are confronted with many choices in our life, and the decisions that we make are not always easy ones to make. Satan is always nipping at our heels and waiting for us to slip up and make a mistake. We pray that as we navigate through this life, that you would help us and guide us to remain on the path of righteousness. Help us to make wise decisions. May we submit to you in all that we do, in all that we think, and in all that we say. We thank you in advance for all of these answered prayers. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I encourage all of you to do some soul searching this up and coming week. What's more important? To earn all the material possessions that this world offers? To give your children the best of everything? And yet to miss so much of their childhood? I can't answer these questions for you. I'm only speaking from my own heart, okay? Everybody's choices are different, and everybody has to live with the choices that they make. Everybody has to live with the consequences, and what may be right for me may not be right for you. I'm just speaking from my own heart, my own experience, not only as a parent, but also as a daughter and a grandma. I had a parent that was super, super busy all the time to make a better life for his family. He was a good man. And I admire him for all of his hard work and for taking care of his family as well as he did and for providing all the things that he did. But I could say the very same thing about my dad. You missed out, Dad. Because I have bukus more loving memories of my mom spending time with me than I do my dad. And I started out on that same hamster wheel when my daughter was born. And I was chasing that same thing for a while. And something drastic intervened in my life. And it flipped my world upside down. And my life was never the same again. But it was a good thing. Praise God. God knows what he's doing. But now, I can look on my life. I can look back now and I can see other family members doing the same thing. Work, 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 work. But where do they find the time to enjoy life? Their family. Folks, like I said, my beliefs are probably a lot different than everybody else's. But I tell you what, if given the choice to be extremely wealthy in the world's eyes with monetary and materialistic possessions and all that stuff, with the knowledge that I have now, or given the opportunity to be right where I'm at right now, I would choose the life I have right now any day of the week. Because I am rich. I have God, I have my husband, I have all my beautiful children and grandchildren, and one more on the way. I still have a parent alive. I have my siblings. Folks, you just can't get any better than that. You just can't get any better than that. That's where my heart is, and that's where my treasures are stored up. And so think about that for a moment. But anyway, is God calling you to make some changes in your life? What changes do you suppose he's calling for you to make? Where do your priorities rest? Is it more on the worldly side or the spiritual side? Friends, right where I'm at in my life today, I have all the time in the world for my husband, my children, my grandchildren. I make that time. I love on them all as much as I possibly can. And I make all the memories I can because I want them to remember me for the right reasons. Only you can answer these questions. I can't answer them for you. Your friends and family can't answer them for you. Life is a journey. A very personal journey. May God richly bless each and every one of you. May God watch over you and protect you and your friends and your loved ones. Until we meet again next week, same time, same place. I love you all.
was the one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you, though. If you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away, so no one knows, no one will see if you stop bleeding.
Every ocean hears my every prayer. time.